We'll let this load. Good afternoon, everyone. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I'm going to be talking about making different video blogs, we say blogs, to successfully reach out to the deaf community. But prior to doing that, let me take a little bit of time to explain to you just a little bit about the deaf community and the fact that we are a cultural and linguistic minority, very similar to other cultural and linguistic minorities that you may be able to think of. Deaf people, many deaf people, feel strongly that they are a cultural and linguistic minority. Yet, we are still often considered as a part of the disability group, as disabled Americans. And many of us really react negatively to that aspect. Socially, how we are similar to other linguistic minorities, we don't use English. American Sign Language is distinct from English. We share cultural experiences, we socialize and partner within our community. Generally speaking, unfortunately, there is an imbalance in power, and many deaf people have difficulties gaining access to education as they need, and have difficult time getting the same education as those in the majority. You may have heard that many deaf people have an average of a fourth grade reading level, and between their educational experiences and their limited access to social information, that can often limit their knowledge base. In healthcare, we are very similar to other linguistic minorities because most of the people we go to as providers don't sign. They speak English, and just like many other groups, they go see someone who can only speak English or may not reflect the same color of their skin or the same ethnic background. Historically, deaf people have been overlooked, not necessarily on purpose, but simply as a function of the way that research has been traditionally carried out. We have not been able to access, you have not been able to access through telephone survey methodology. Many deaf people can read English, but they may not completely understand the questions on some of the surveys as the way that they're written. Now I want to tell you a little bit about what a vlog is and the reason we're using them. This is taken from a focus group that the Prevention Research Center adopted. Trust is a huge issue, of course. In any sociolinguistic minority, trust is a huge issue between the minority and majority culture. There's also cultural barriers that are put in place, that the majority culture is so significantly different from the minority culture that it's incongruent for them to work together. As a result of these things, like publishing something in English as opposed to publishing it in the native language of the people who need to see it is a perfect example. So that's the reason that we address this. We also, the object of our work is that part of the challenge is that trust lies at an interpersonal level. It needs to be addressed at a personal level rather than at an institutional level. Where shall I start describing this to you? As I mentioned, literacy among deaf people may not be very high, not necessarily fourth grade, it may be higher than that, but printed material may be lost on many deaf people. They can't listen to the radio or podcasts. Sometimes television programs are captioned, and sometimes they're not, and reading is also a barrier there. Also, if you're trying to keep up with the information, the caption may go away before you've read it. The internet is hit and miss, and all of this leads to deaf people, all of this and more leads to deaf people having a fund of information gap, the additional factors of them not being able to hear what's going on around them in the environment, which is why that we have adopted the use of American Sign Language video blogs to deliver information to the deaf community. Vlogs are becoming more and more popular because of the ease of producing video information and putting it out onto the internet. If you're wondering how popular it is, if you go into Google and you use these keywords, ASL and vlog, you get over 1 million hits. If you go in on YouTube, you might get 14,000. If you go to this blog, defread.com, it's a blog conglomerator website, there are over 10,000 blogs published there since 2006. We don't just create blogs just sort of out of our heads. We have a process. We take a piece of printed material or a topic, and we develop a cultural adaptation to make sure that we reach all the important learning points, but we also provide culturally relevant examples or expansions upon the information. So, allow me to show you this video. Here we go. What's a cognitive interview? NCDHR is translating surveys into American Sign Language. How we're doing that is by we're either doing these surveys through talking with an interviewer or on a kiosk. One of the things that we will do is have you come and take a survey. If we want to collect your data, we want to make sure that the questions are clear and that the technology works appropriately. If you'd like to participate in a cognitive interview, what you'll do is take the survey and then an interviewer will talk with you about your experience. That's called a cognitive interview. So what happens during a cognitive interview? A cognitive interview happens in two rooms with a one-way observation mirror between the two of them. The research team sits on one side, which is comprised of both hearing and deaf people, and the participant sits on the other. You, the participant, will take the survey on a computer or sitting with an interviewer. Once those surveys are done, then someone, perhaps the interviewer or a different person, will come in and ask you questions about your experience. The research team sits on the other side of the one-way mirror and takes notes about your experience. You may wonder what kinds of questions we'll ask you. We'll ask you how your experience was of taking the survey, what you liked and didn't like about the survey. We'll also pick some questions from the survey and ask you more about them. If we ask you something you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer. You can choose to stop the survey or the interview at any time, or you can respond that you're not interested and just skip it and move on. You may wonder what the goal of our cognitive interviews are. The reason we do this is to improve our surveys when we actually open up a research study. If you can't understand the signer on a survey, we need to make sure that that information is taken care of before we field the survey. That way we'll collect better data. That's one of our most popular video blogs. Not many people in our community have ever heard of cognitive interviews. So that's one that many, many people have watched. This may seem like simple information to you, but I would say that probably, the deaf community is not a very large aspect of our culture or our community, but what happens is when we disseminate information, it gets spread from person to person throughout the community very quickly. This is the responses that we've gotten from some people in our community. So these do seem to help people. They're learning things that they never realized, and American Sign Language, giving this information in American Sign Language demonstrates to our community members that we appreciate them and certainly want their inclusion. So, in summary, basic research concepts are best provided, any information is best provided in the natural language of the people who you're trying to reach. We also want people to see us as humans and have a connection with them, not just as researchers who work, you know, up in some silo.